Somebody say thank you, Jesus. All right, all right. If you have your Bibles, turning with me to the book of Jonah. All right. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord, notice this, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. That's a bad situation. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, notice that little g, and cast forth the waters that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Somebody say he was sleepy. All right. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou?" Somebody say, "O sleeper, arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." And let's go to verse 17 real quick. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And it does not say whale. Lessons from Jonah. God bless you as you're seated in Jesus' name. It says un pescado grande. Right? So for extra credit, without using any electronic device, after church, let me know where it says that Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, where it actually says whale. Amen. Without using any electronic device. Praise God. Amen. All right. Jonah. We know about 5 things about Jonah. We know his name, his relationship with the Lord. We know his family, his ministry, his hometown. And aside from that, that's about all we've got. And Jonah was a prophet. In fact, the scripture tells us that he prophesied during the reign of Jeroboam the second, and his name means dove. Those of you taking notes, Jonah was prophesied, and what he prophesied in specifically in 2 Kings was a good prophecy, and it was something that was good. So he was probably popular, but this is a story is more about the prophet than it is Jonah's prophecy, and so Jonah was a contemporary of Amos and Hosea. And it would be a privilege for Jonah to be able to prophesy, and it was a privilege for Jonah to be used by God. Equally, it was a privilege for Jonah to hear the voice of God. Think about that. How many of us have ever heard the audible voice of God? It's few and far between, but Jonah did. And much of this story is about Nineveh. And Nineveh was a big city. In fact, the scripture tells us that Nineveh was a great city. In fact, when you're reading the book of Jonah, specifically Jonah chapter 1 through about verse 17, all the way through 17, it talks about a great city, it talks about a great storm, and it talks about a fish. I believe it even says a great fish. And so there's a lot of greatness in this this story about Jonah. And Jonah was commissioned. We have Jonah's commission, his call. We have Jonah's disobedience, and we have the consequences of disobedience that the Lord obviously is showing us through the story of Jonah because of his lack of submission. And so Jonah decided he was going to do what he wanted to do regardless of what the Lord asked him to do. Anybody know somebody that knows somebody that acts that way? Right? We're going to talk about a couple of things tonight. The first thing is, what's the problem with submission? What's wrong with submission? Jonah obviously had a problem with it. In fact, the scripture is very plain. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Submission is an act. It's action. It's the instance of submitting or the instance of compliance. It's to give over or yield to the power or authority of another. It's really to surrender. The Bible tells us in James chapter 4 verse 7, it says, submit yourselves therefore unto God. So we need to be submitted to God. And we as a people need to ensure that if we're submitted to God, that we're submitted to God's word and to God's man, even when it's not convenient for us. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, some people live by the mantra, and you may know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody, but I came across this and I thought I would share it with you. It's not original from Pastor, but it makes a lot of sense. It says, I am Jonah. I want to serve God as long as it is convenient. I desire to do His will till it is a tad uncomfortable. I want to hear His word as long as His message is supposed to pass to somebody else. I don't want my plans interrupted. Oh yeah, I'm Jonah. And I suspect at some point in time we all fall into one of those categories, if not all of them, from time to time. Let's remember that the message of the cross and Jesus being crucified, the death, burial, and the resurrection, it was not convenient. It wasn't. He was all in. He did what Jesus did what He did for all of mankind. He did it once and for all. But it was not convenient. In fact, Jesus says, and we have scripture for this in Luke chapter 22, verse 42, He said, if it is possible, or if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Somebody say, His will be done. So we got a lesson from Jonah here that even when God is asking him and telling him to do something, he wasn't being submitted. And we all have a duty. We all have a call. We all have a purpose. But God has commissioned each of us to know Him and to make Him known. And I would ask us tonight, how are we doing with the make Him known part? How are we doing? And say, well, we know Him. But okay, so if we know Him, then how are we doing with the knowing part? How are we doing with the doing part? Notice, the psalmist tells us in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 8, it says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Somebody say, that's me. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. I like this part. Talk ye of a few of His wonderful works. Right? We just talk about what he did for somebody a long time ago. Right? That's what the scripture tells us. Talk ye of a few of His wonderful works. Right? Somebody say amen. That's wrong. It says, somebody say all. It says, talk ye of all His wonderful works. It says glory, or when you look at that word glory, it says it means to celebrate in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. How many have something you could celebrate and thank the Lord for today? Amen. Why don't we do that? Let's just give Lord a praise. Just thank the Lord. It's that easy just to say, thank you, Jesus. I'm here today. Thank you, Jesus. It's that simple. Where you'll notice on social media, we're doing a 30 days of thanks, and we've done it, started it last year. I thought it was, social media team came up with it last year. I thought it was very fitting, but every day we ought to find at least one thing to thank the Lord for. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. It says, seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face continually. I like this part, Dr. Walker. It says, remember His marvelous works that He has done. Wonders. His wonders. His wonders. You ever make that sound? I wonder how they got all that money. Ooh, I wonder how he got that girl, right? All the handsome people say amen, right? I wonder how he got that job. Man, I wonder how she got a hold of him. How'd she marry him, right? Well, it's called the blessed and highly favored. That's what it's called. Amen. Try it on. It smells good. It feels good to be blessed and highly favored. All the blessed and highly favored people, say amen. Amen. But are we being connoisseurs of just good church? Good preaching? Good ministries? Are we connoisseurs of just the blessings of God? hoarding the gospel to ourselves. I know there's hoarders physically, but we shouldn't be spiritual hoarders, right? You want to pack out your garage and stuff and boxes everywhere, that's up to you. Don't call me to come help you move. But let's not be spiritual hoarders. Let's share the gospel and tell somebody about Jesus. He has saved us after all. And some of us, that's a miracle in itself that He saved. Some of you are pretty ruthless, right? Pretty wild. It took a lot of work for God to save, and He's still working on us. We got to remember that somebody stopped to take a time to teach us, to tell us, to love us, to give us a Bible study, to give us a ride to church. We ought to be excited to say, you know what? Let me tell you who Jesus is. Woo! Hallelujah. We have a purpose. It means we have an intention. We are intended with a desired result. So I ask us this tonight. Are we submitted to God? I mean, truthfully, are we submitted to God? Well, Pastor, we're here tonight. I get that. I commend you. I thank you. It's better and it's a lot more fun to preach with you and to you when there's more than just more than 75 here. It's great when there's almost a full house. It's wonderful. But can I tell you, is wanting to do something for God and doing something for Him are two different things, right? Saying you're submitted and being submitted is different. Talking about living for God and living for God are two different things. Notice this. Jonah teaches us that you could say you're submitted to God, but are you willing to do what He asks you to do and show that you're submitted to God? Think about that. Submission means that you even submit one to another. Oh, Pastor, you had to go there? Hey, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear, or when you look at that word fear, in the reverence of God. How many have reverence for God and the things of God? Amen. So it means you submit yourselves one to another in the reverence of God. Well, Pastor, I'm not going to submit to her. I'm not going to submit to him. They're not even qualified. They may not be qualified, but God has equipped them, and He has quantified, and He is equipping them to do what God has called them to do. So the scripture says, if you reverence the Lord, you submit to them. That's called submission. Well, Pastor, I'm just kind of do my own thing. Really? I see you wait in line. Well, that's called submission. Anybody got a Costco membership? Be like going to Costco to get the free samples? Yeah. You try getting out there without showing your receipt. Called submission. Right? You stand in line at Starbucks. I bet if the man with the Christmas lights on his car pulls you over, and puts his siren on, you'll be submitted real quick. That's called submission. And then you get one of those letters and said jury summons. Like I got. Again. Been 18 for a long time. Or not 18, but man. Come here, and I get more jury summons since I've been here than I did the entire time before I got here. By Lord. Again, somebody say again. You're submitted when you get to the stop sign and you stop and you look both ways. It's called submission. So why not submit to God in His way, His word, His man, His people for His purpose? There are some things that we can avoid by serving God. Jonah's proof of this, he could have avoided some things if he would have just submitted to God. If you notice in verse 4, it says, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken. Jonah was in a position of catastrophe because he was not being submitted. Notice this. Nothing goes unnoticed to God, good or bad. Nothing goes unnoticed. No running. You can't run from Him. You can't hide from Him. No amount of giving to Him or not giving to Him goes unnoticed. No amount of being merciful to somebody or holding back your mercy. None of that is unnoticed to God. No amount of blessing. No sin goes unnoticed to God. In fact, the scripture tells us in Hebrews 4:13, it says, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him. Notice this. Of Him with whom we have to do. He sees everything. And if you're taking notes tonight, remember this. Even if somebody else does not appreciate you, say thank you, or recognize you, He appreciates you.
Amen.
He knows who you are. And you'll receive your gift from Him. You'll receive it. He takes good notes. He knows exactly what we're doing and why we're doing it and the real reason and the motives behind it. And guess, you may not get a please and a thank you and a trophy for some of the things here on earth that you're doing from your neighbor, your boss, the pastor, but God sees it all. Come on, somebody. And we got to understand that the scripture tells us in Colossians 3, circle this in your Bible, highlight it or send it to yourself in an email. But it says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. Notice this. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. We're doing it unto the Lord. Jonah was asked to submit to God, and it was almost as if God was interfering or interrupting him. You ever feel that way, that maybe God's interrupting you or interfering with your plans? You know? Can you imagine Noah? Yeah. How about Mary? Right? Not even married, and the angel Gabriel comes and says, hey, you're blessed and highly favored. And because of that, you're pregnant. Nah, something wrong. No, you're pregnant. You're going to have a baby. You're going to call His name Jesus. Yeah. Classic evidence of somebody being submitted. Yeah. Aren't you thankful she was submitted?
Amen.
Anybody thankful tonight that she was submitted? If God saved you, then you're a testimony or a witness. You ought to remember that. Revelation tells us that we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Well, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm qualified. It's okay. Are you willing to submit? Because God is looking for vessels, right? And He's looking for a willing vessel. And it's worth being in the will of God, and it's never favorable being out of the will of God. Think about that. Because last week we talked about the heart of Jonah and what it revealed. And we talked about how it revealed some disobedience. But it revealed some selfishness too. Jonah demonstrated selfishness when he disregarded what God asked him to do. His spiritual character. I mean, seriously. It would be like Pastor Pinero saying, I don't want to preach to the people in Santa Maria. Nah. I don't want to preach to them. Well, I called you to Santa Maria. I called you to preach to 180 folks or so that call you pastor at Revival Tabernacle. Yeah, but I don't want to preach to them. Okay. We'll have a talk about that some way, somehow. And Jonah revealed his spiritual character. So what is our spiritual character telling about us when God is asking us to do things that we maybe don't want to do? See, what Jonah failed to realize was that he was very privileged to be called of God, to be a prophet, and second, to hear the voice of God. And that was a privilege. We need to understand and realize that it is a privilege to be saved. You know, there's people today that they did not make it to today. There's people today that won't make it in the next 30 minutes. There's people today that got arrested or on their deathbed, that got some bad news while we're sitting right here in the presence of the Lord. There's some of you that you didn't think you would make it to see 2019, let alone be blessed and highly favored with some of the things you have. We are privileged. God has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, that we should show forth the praises of Him. Come on, somebody. It's a privilege to be in God's house, to have the truth, to have the message of salvation. It's a privilege to have Bibles and to be in an air-conditioned or a heated facility, to sit on chairs that have padding. It's a privilege to be able to call Him Father. And He hears us. Second point I want to make tonight is whatever God has called us to do ought to be seen as a privilege. See, selfishness has no place in the church, and it definitely has no place with the people of God. Philippians 2:2 says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. But notice this. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man at his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Galatians 6, it says, as we have therefore opportunity. Somebody say opportunity. let us do good unto, whew, especially to them that are the household of faith. When God called Jonah to Nineveh, it was a privilege. See, we have the full understanding, the blessing that we have tonight is that we hopefully you would have read all four chapters, but you at least today have some insight that we have the beginning, the middle, and the ending of the story of Jonah. And we see that he was going to have a tremendous part in the restoration of a group of people that needed repentance and salvation. But he didn't know that at the time. And it's the same thing with us. What God has called and purposed us to do, all we have is the here and now. What we have is experience from what God saved us from, brought us from, to where we are today. But we don't understand the impact that you're having on people that are watching you, that they don't even tell you that you're watching you. But you're a living testimony or an epistle. They're watching your light shine, however bright it is shining. Yeah. It's a privilege. God calling Jonah to Nineveh was probably not in the plan of Jonah's day or his life. But God called him to do it, and God needed him to do it. Think about this. In our journey and in our walk with God, we will likely come across our own personal Ninevehs. Think about that. And just the very mention of our own personal Nineveh, whatever person, place, or thing that is, can put you in a tailspin of flight. Then rather run to it and see it as a privilege. Jonah is the quintessential, notice this, picture of a person who has the message of truth but hoards it for himself. Jonah's been given the gift of prophecy, but he only wants to use that gift when it is convenient for him. Notice this. It's only to be used if he could decide when and where and to who he could use that gift. Talking about lessons from Jonah tonight. God's will and purpose oftentimes will lead us outside of our comfort zone. And when it does, do we have a tendency to flee and go flight somewhere else and run the opposite way? Notice this. The scripture tells us in Ephesians 2 and 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God has ordained some works for us, and He's expecting us to walk in them, not run away to the opposite of what God is calling us to. Notice this. We are called to be stewards of what God has entrusted and called us to be, or called us to oversee. We are not the owners of anything. We don't own anything. We are the managers. So some of you have giftings and callings and anointings. You are the owner. You're not the owner. You are the overseer. You are the steward. And so if you're misappropriating the gift, the calling, the anointing that God has given you, shame on you. You're being selfish. You're not being submitted to God. Well, I would be submitted, Pastor, if there was somebody else that I could respect and be submitted to. Hey, that's who God put in position. That's who God put in place. Hey, it's God's person. It's God's church. It's God's way. I'm the pastor. I've entrusted them and say, you know what? You want to be rebellious? You want to be disobedient? Guess what? You got to deal with that with God. But you can be like Jonah and go the other way and end up in situations that were less than pleasing. Because the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 4 and 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found popular, faithful. See, God didn't change what He wanted or needed Jonah to do. Right? Jonah was a prophet. He just said, hey, go prophesy. Real simple. He asked him to go minister to people that Jonah preferred not to minister to. Notice this. Do we only want to minister to people that we can get things from? Do we only want to be around people that can benefit us? Maybe your comfort zone is not submission. But being in the what we are called sons and daughters, and then the scripture tells us we are servants. A servant serves. In fact, the very word minister means servant. So maybe God is asking you to do something and submission's out of your comfort zone, but if you're really going to serve Him, you got to deal with it. Notice what 2 Corinthians 6 and 4 says, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities into stresses. It says, but in the CEV version, it says, but in everything and in every way, we show that we are truly God's servants. We have always been patient, though we have had a lot of trouble, suffering, and hard times. Well, Pastor, that's not what I had planned. It's not what I had intended. You know, Elisha served Elijah before he received a double portion. Samuel served Eli before he anointed two kings of Israel. In fact, this is awesome. But I shared this with somebody the other day, is that Eli needed the elder to teach him how to hear the voice of God, because he couldn't hear and recognize the voice of God for himself. He could hear it, but he couldn't recognize it. Pretty profound. Powerful. But he needed the next generation to teach him what to do when he heard the voice of God, to recognize it, how to respond. Nehemiah was submitted. He was submitted to the will of the people, and he was the king's cupbearer. He was submitted to the king before he went and built the wall in 52 days. Think about that. How about Peter, James, and John? They were submitted to Jesus. But if you think you're above serving, then you're not qualified to lead. Just saying. But look what happens in chapter, in verse 4 and verse 6. The Lord sent a great wind in the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. The mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. Cast forth the wares that were in the ship in the sea to lighten them. But Jonah was down on the sides of the ship, and he was asleep. They go to him and they say, hey, wake up, sleepy. Cry out upon thy God, so that your God will think upon us that we perish not. The last and the final point I want to make tonight is our actions affect other people. Good and bad. What we do or don't do affects other people. Look, if you want to be blessed, I encourage you to get around blessed people and see what it is that is causing them to be blessed. And I tell you, you're probably going to see faithfulness and submission. If you want to be on fire for God, I encourage you to get around some people that are on fire for God and see what it is that is keeping that flame going. You're probably going to see some faithfulness and some submission. If you got some struggles with depression, then don't get around other people that are depressed, but find some people that have dealt with depression and overcome it, or find yourself some intercessors, maybe like tomorrow, and come with the prayer team and the intercessor prayer team and pray with them and see that the prayer of faith shall heal the sick and see that what God would do. And not run from it, but say, you know what, God, there's something that I need you to do. I'm not going to run from it, Lord. I'm going to run towards you with my burden. I'm going to lay it at your feet, God, so you can do something about it. Because what we do or don't do affects other people. Case in point, Jonah ran from the presence of the Lord. He gets in a boat and he heads the other way. And the scripture says, and the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. Yeah, the Lord did it. Because somebody was being selfish, not being submitted. Somebody wasn't being obedient. So the Lord says, well, I got to deal with it. And you brought all these people into this picture now. And so I'm going to have to deal with you in front of them. Well, no bueno. I mean, Jonah was running. These other mariners had nothing to do with the problem that Jonah was dealing with. Right? He had nothing to do with it. I remember when I wasn't living for God. And I had this beautiful, beautiful car that was almost paid off. How much time do I got? Oh, man. And I got to make it quick. It was a beautiful car, almost paid off. And I bought it brand new. And I was sitting in front of my apartment. And I wasn't living for the Lord. But I had a mama who, she knows how to pray. And so Sister Breon, she would fast and pray for her son. And so I was doing homework in my apartment. And next thing I know, I hear, yeah, go outside. Oh, mi carro. No bueno. My car, the car in front of me, and the car behind me. And guess whose car got totaled? My car. Yeah, the Lord was getting my attention. I knew what was taking place. You know, I knew what was going on. But, you know, now involved to other people that were innocent bystanders. Guy took, whoever the driver was gone, nowhere to be found. It was a hit and run. It was gone, but my car was totaled. Yeah. And if that wasn't enough, Sister Gloria, I mean, you know, I was running from the Lord. I knew I was, right? I wasn't happy not being in church, you know, but I wasn't happy doing what I was doing. You're just kind of like, well, I know, you know, this is not good either way. And then I'm doing my homework. It always involves homework, right? Maybe still don't do your homework. See if this one happened. And I'm doing my homework. Sitting in my apartment, I live by myself, doing my homework on my kitchen table, and smells like smoke. Next thing I hear, boom, 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 fire! Oh, it is smoke. I open my front door, and it's like pandemonium. It's chaos. Everybody's running everywhere. So I grab my backpack and my car keys, and I go down the stairs, and I get out in front of my apartment, and it's like, it's on fire. Just propane tank. Boom! Up in the sky. Just boom. Fire trucks. Everybody coming out. TV crew. I had my 15 minutes of fame. Channel 47 News interviewed me. Yeah. First person I called, standing on the side of the sidewalk. And they didn't answer the phone. So I left a sad story on their answering machine. Just pray for me. My apartment's on complex is on fire. Bye. Would you know that my apartment, the one below me, the one right next to me, and the one right below them were the only of the four, I don't know, it was like 8 or 16 of them, 8 on one side, 8 on the other, were the only four that had no damage. All they had damage was when they kicked my front door and the fire department in to go in and hit the ceiling to check for any smoke in the vent. One of the only four of all those apartments. Well, I knew what happened. Mama was praying. The Lord was trying to get my attention. I involved all those other people. They're all innocent. They say, well, Pastor, you believe? Oh, I believe that. I know the reason why. It got my attention. It really did. Can I tell you, God is maybe doing the same thing to you, and what we do or don't do is affecting other people. Amen. This guy is sleeping, and These mariners come to him and say, hey, dude, wake up. Something's wrong. What are you doing sleeping? Then they ask him a series of questions. They said, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil has come upon us? What is your occupation? Where'd you come from? Where's your country? And what people art thou? And he's all, this is hilarious, actually, when you read it. What he says. Notice what they start asking him questions, and then he says, oh, yeah, I'm a Hebrew. Yeah. I'm a preacher. I fear the Lord. Yeah, you fear the Lord, huh? You're like ran into the ocean. You really respect the Lord. Well, then it gets funnier. The God that made the heaven and the sea and the dry ground. Oh, you thought you could get in a boat and go pay the scripture says he paid the fare. So what it's implying, and some commentaries will tell us, that he chartered the entire boat. So he pays, gets on the boat, he's headed another way, and he says, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I fear the Lord, he made the heavens and the earth. Yeah, and the Lord sent there and said, yeah, really, dude? I sent this storm right here. You got caught, man. What we do affects other people, good and bad. Ellen would come. So these innocent bystanders could have maintained their innocence. But as the scripture would have us to see, they ended up throwing him overboard. Yeah. And we're going to learn a little bit about being thrown overboard and the fish. Jonah saying he was something that he was not being. Do we say we're a Christian, but is our lifestyle demonstrating something else? Do we say we're Holy Ghost filled and we walk in the Spirit, but we're manifesting the flesh? Do we say we believe in holiness, but we're showing otherwise? Do we say that God can heal, but we run to the medicine cabinet every chance we get? Just saying. Just saying. We say that we believe in faith, but we walk in the realm of fear. It's lessons from Jonah tonight. There's a purpose for each of us. God has called us for such a time as this. Feels that like God is stretching us, and He is. I was so encouraged when the man of God prophesied a couple Sundays ago, about the reason why God is stretching this church and why we have these growing pains. It's because He said He needed to stretch us in order to birth And to be able to have the revival that God has promised us, He has to stretch us and stretch us and stretch us. I don't want to run from the call of God, the purpose of God, or the ministries that God has promised us that we're living in right now. It is amazing what God has done and what God is doing. Anybody just overjoyed with what God is doing, what God is going to do, and that you're a part of what God is positioning us for? As we stand tonight, we can learn from Jonah. Say, you know what? It's awkward. It's just kind of something that I don't know, Pastor. Hey, God controls everything. He's got it covered. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Just give it to the Lord. Just let Him deal with it. Let Him take care of it. Don't run from it. Embrace it. If God called you, He'll equip you. He'll anoint you. You've been called and appointed. He's going to start anointing some of you. How many believe that tonight? God didn't bring you this far to abandon you. Right? God didn't bring you this far to leave you hanging. He's got you covered. He's going to take care of you. How many have had a miracle since Brother Hernandez has left? How many have had a miracle? I want you to raise your hand. All right, let me see that. Sister Thompson, will you count? How many? Raise your hand if you've had a miracle since Brother Hernandez has left. Raise your hand. Keep your hand up. 10? 10 more miracles. 11 more miracles. He said it was going to happen, and look, it's happened. Why don't we just thank the Lord right now for those 10 miracles? Because there's going to be more. Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord right now. Let's thank the Lord right now. Let's thank the Lord right now. Come on, let's thank Him for His mighty acts. Let's thank Him. Let's worship Him. Let's praise Him right now. Hallelujah. How many of you want more? How many of you want more? How many believe that God can do more? How many will step out in faith tonight? Come around the altar. Find a place to pray. Bring somebody with you for the next. Let's just take the next 7 minutes together. Sister Ellen blesses us with song. And let's thank the Lord for the miracles. And let's believe God for more miracles. I believe some of you are going to receive checks in the mail. Good medical reports. Things are going to happen. I believe that. Not just healing things, but financial miracles are going to take place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallehallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you. And all, and all, and all. That's a good song. That's a great song.
Bless his
soul. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Miracles, miracles, miracles. Almost 23 miracles in the last 2 weeks. That's awesome. There's more though. There's more. He's got a miracle for you. He's got a miracle for you. He's got a miracle for you. He's got a miracle for you, Eli. He's got a miracle. Hernandez, he's got a miracle for you. Brother Jose Adame, he's got a miracle for you. Jesus' name. David, he's got a miracle for you. In the name of Jesus. Brother Breon, he's got a miracle for you in Jesus' name.
Oh, my soul.
He said he was going to do it. I believe it. He's got a miracle for the Fernandez family. Jesus' name. That's it, Sister Breon. He's got a miracle for you. I believe it, Sister Castillo. A miracle for you. Jesus' name. He's got a miracle.
He's
going to do great things. He's going to do wonderful things. I feel the Holy Ghost.
He has done.